And I have the privilege really to see what God is doing already in Austria and some different places, and how God is calling people up that they stand up and they say, we have a desire to reach the next generation also. So right now we have 7 church planting in whole Austria that I'm also counseling, coaching them, also this kind of projects. And also in my past, I had different church planting projects where I was involved and where I started. So this, what I want to do today, is not a typical sermon. So if you expect now a sermon, sorry, I have to disappoint you a little bit today, because it is somehow a mix. I will also share the, as you said, the acts, you know, how it continue, what God is doing, and more from my experience, what I experience in my life. So more than 20 years now, I'm church planting involved. So that is 2002, I was the first church that I planted in. Yeah, in the east part of Germany. I will come to this later. But before, I want to give you a short... now there is a headline also, because it is. I did it like this, you know, Adventure Church. Because I really believe the church is an adventure. So we are not coming here together only to have a nice time, but we want to experience something. And I want to give you today also 5 points, an overview about this. What I experience, what can be principles that help us to experience the impossible in the church, because we have a God who have no limits, who have really all resources that we needed to grow and to see that things change in our life and also in our society. But before I go to this, I want to share a story with you. And this story happened, So maybe some of you remember the story. 5 years ago in Thai, there was a group, a soccer team, 12 young people with their coach. Yeah, they wanted to celebrate the birthday party of the eldest member of their soccer club. So, and they said, okay, what we do after the practice, they went with a bicycle to a cave, and then in the cave they stopped and they went into this cave. But what was happened during that time when they went in, it started to rain outside. A strong rain comes up and the cave was flooded, and so they could not come back anymore. A few hours later, some parents had sorrow, you know, there was, what's going on, where are our children? So, and then they informed them, and then it started a big search for the boys. And then the police found the bicycles in the entrance, near the entrance of the cave, and then the search began to look where other boys are. Because the cave, from the entrance where they found them, was 8 kilometers. You know, a long distance. So, and it was really a difficult rescue operation that they started to looking for the people. And they thought, it is around 12 people, so we have to ask also international for help. So they sent a request to other Navy divers, they sent to other soldiers from Great Britain, from Europe, from all the whole world. People come together, and cave explorers, they all came together to rescue these people. They were 10 days. 10 days they were looking and searching and going and looking, where are they? After 10 days they discovered the boys there. That is the picture on the ledge. Can you imagine also what kind of situation it was for the boys to sitting in the cave? You have no chance to go up because there was the water. There are the rocks up you. Dark, no lights. They had a little bit food, but it ended also some. You have to go to toilet, something else, you know. Don't imagine all the picture, you know. But 10 days, they stayed there. After 10 days, they found them. And now you can say, wow, it's easy now. After 10 days, it's easy now. We will take them out. But it was really challenging, because you have in this cave, there was different situation where you have to dive under 30 minutes under the water. You have to dive 30 minutes. And there's only water and up rock, you cannot jump up. You cannot come to the surface. And the narrowest gap was 70 by 38 centimeter. So now the difficulty began. What we should do? How we can rescue this boy from this ledge where they are again to the entrance? Because the problem was the boys can't speak English. And yeah, many of the Navy divers, they spoke English but not Thai. Language problem. The other thing was the boys were very weak now after 10 days. No, and also psychologically, and they could not dive or swim. So what to do? So, and there was a long story, you can read it also on the internet if you would like, no? But it took eight days to rescue all. The last, after 8 days, they rescued the last one from there. There were around 1,000 people were involved in this rescue operation from 13 different countries. Yeah, and they participated with all their knowledge, with all their experience, and all of them were dedicated because they want to see that all the boys get saved. You know, this story, when I was also experienced it, I saw it only in the news, it touched my heart still. Because how many people are ready to dedicate their own life, yeah, to save others? One Navy diver, he also left his life because he went up and then he lost the oxygen and he died. So, and when I think about it, I think about also, this is a story that we also see in the Bible. So many people, what I would say, are sitting still in the cave and waiting and longing for that someone will come and bring hope and rescue them. So many people are still there with fear, and they are sitting in the darkness. They are separated from other people, yeah, and they are looking for someone who come into their life and bring hope into their life. And this is why God launched this greatest rescue operation once when he sent Jesus Christ. We can read it in John 36. Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not be perished, but have eternal life. So this is my motivation when we speak about church planting, because I want to be a part of the rescue team. I want to be a part of this team who is trying to save, to invest everything that people can get out of their cave, that they come from the darkness into the light. You know, and So we are now all are saved. I think most of us, we are saved here. Yeah, and maybe you know Jesus Christ, and now you can say, of course, wow, it's nice, everything is done for me. I'm saved. That is okay. That is the main thing. I'm saved. And God, surely you will take part of the rest, you know. But I have nothing to do anymore with this. At least I'm saved. Maybe sometimes we feel like this. And sometimes I have the feeling also when we go in the church, because also maybe Sunday morning you are sitting here and you feel, wow, I'm saved, to celebrate it. You know, and it is good. You know, but does it really touch your heart that there are still so many people in Vienna or in Austria or somewhere else, you know, who don't know who Jesus is, who are waiting for the rescue team? So now the bad news is there are still many people missing that God is longing for. There are still many captives waiting for hope and rescue. And the good news is the rescue operation is not finished yet. There is still hope for many people. Yeah, and God is looking for us. He wants to have us in his rescue operation. He wants to invite you. He wants to say, hey, don't be only a visitor. Don't only send a nice like or a thumb up, you know, to if you hear some news and people are doing something. When we're doing now to bring churches together, to think about new ways, strategies, how to reach the people here in Vienna. It's not enough only to make thumb up and say, good idea. Go for it. But go in. Be a part of it, you know. Be a part of the rescue operation. So this is only the story why it motivates me to invest in church planting and evangelism. So I want to give 5 principles that for me is very important, what I see, how we can experience that God is still doing something, and how the Adventure Church can be a hope, a story of hope and encouragement. So the first thing is for me all, is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, only one short thing also about Jesus. We know all the things when you read Mark chapter 1. It is for me very interesting. I like it because I'm also like a driver, you know. I'm active man. So I like the Gospel of Mark because it is boom, boom, boom. He did this and he did this. Went there and then he went there. So this is what I like, you know. But John, he also described like this, and then he comes, oh, again, you know. This is how John describes the gospel or the story of Jesus. But this is why I like Mark. He is on the point straight, and that is the next step. So, and he describes in this chapter 1, Jesus is doing so many miracles. He went from the blind man, then he went there, and he did this, he did healing there and somewhere else. And he met so many people. And then you wonder how he met this, how much power Jesus had. He had never rested, or how it went, that what was his secret. And then it's in chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a lonely place where he prayed. You know, and I ask me sometimes, why does he did this? Because he was Jesus. Does he need a prayer? But he did it because he wanted to be close with his Father. He wanted to listen to the heartbeat of his Father. He wanted to be connected with his Father. He wanted to have the wisdom of his Father. He wanted not to do the things that it comes up front to him. He wanted to do the things that the Father wants that he has to do. No, and so this is why it was important for him to stay in contact with the Father, and also to ask maybe really clear request that he asks the Father what he wants, what he expects from him. And also to take all the things to draw from the grace, you know, to take the wisdom, everything from his Father. And the interesting what I see sometimes is that we think we don't need so much a prayer. Because sometimes I have a feeling that we think we are smarter than Jesus. Okay, maybe Jesus was too weak, that's why he need to ask his Father. But I really think you will never see a success in church planting if you have not a strong prayer. You know, I see so many times that we do meetings also in the churches, and then in the end we ask, okay, let us do now a prayer meeting. Yeah, and we ask God, and God, please bless the things that we discussed. Yeah, bless this and this. But is this what God really wants from us? In one church planting project team, when I was a few years ago also, so we started as a core team. We were the six adults, and we said, okay, when we have a planning meeting, we will spend at least 1 hour to 1.5 hour only in prayer and worship. And then we go to the planning, 1/2 hour to at least 1 hour. And we did it, really. And for me, it was really somehow like an experiment. I thought, oh my goodness, you have so many things to discuss. You have so many things that you have to think about it. So how you can manage this? But you know what was the result? The result is that we agreed so quickly in so many decisions. The result was that during our prayer, ideas came up. We had the same idea sometimes in our prayer, or someone was praying and the other jumped in this prayer and said, yeah, God, and you heard this, and I want to ask, is this one? So we asked in the prayer God, so we had the feeling that Jesus or God was sitting next to us, yeah, and so many wisdom we got through this kind of prayer that we did. And also we become very bold in doing things because we felt that why we pray together that we get united. And that is what I really also want to encourage. We need to understand that the prayer has a power. The prayer has a power. From there, everything started. Another story also, a few weeks ago, I have also another churches were trying also to join together and doing this process with them. And really, they started to doubt if this process is the right way, if they really should do or not do, because there was so many discussion about also the assets, who belongs what, and how to share the things, to who we have to move or not. So many doubts came there up. And I, during the time when I went to this place, our meeting place, I really prayed and I said, God, God, if today we have no unity, I will stop. I will not even more go to this meeting because, you know, I don't want to lose my time there to discuss so many things. You know, I want that you show unity and the way where we have to go, or to stop or to continue. And then we came together, and you can really feel, maybe sometimes we have also this feeling, you came in the room and you can feel the tension that is there. You know, there are some elephants in the room that you don't speak about, but everyone sees them, you know. So, and speaking where, somehow like this, we felt there was a tension. There was very, people were speaking very polite but and friendly, but not honest. So, and then I said, guys, before we will start to discuss all the points, we will pray. And I asked them also, what is your question today? What kind of questions do you want to have an answer today? And then we wrote it down, but there was only maybe three main questions. We wrote them down and said, and now we want to have a prayer time where we pray. And they said, not only a short prayer time, we will have a really prayer time. So around half hour, we did a prayer time. And during that prayer time, the atmosphere changed. Totally. The atmosphere changed, and people become impressions. They become some pictures that they shared with us and say, and they all came in the same direction. And the anxious that the people, some of them, they had fear, you know, left the room. You could really feel it. That was the power of the prayer. And after this, so it was unity, and it was so clear what are the next steps. It was the shortest meeting that we had, yeah, the whole time, but it was so clear what are the next steps. So the power of prayer has the power to change the atmosphere immediately. But we have to expect it. We have to use it. We have to pray really honestly and to ask God, God, for this we want to have an answer. Please answer to this. Another story about prayer. 3 years ago in the city where I live, in Stockerau, we started to meet together with the Christians that are living in Stockerau but who are traveling to different kind of churches, most of them traveling to Vienna and these churches. And we said, it is really sad that so many of us going somewhere, but we want to take also responsibility for our city. So we have to pray for our city, because what we saw in our city was close to be bankrupt. Yeah, it means they have deep debts, many debts, you know. They could not pay many things. You could not invest anything. The parties, the political parties, they not worked more together. You know, if someone makes a good, had a good idea, the other immediately try to disencourage or to say it is not a good idea, to destroy the idea. So, and we said, we as a believer, we have now to go into this gap. We have to pray. So we started to pray, and we met every week in front of the city hall, or in front of the schools, in front of kindergartens, in front of the main public buildings that we have there, yeah, where decisions are made or where the future are planned, and we met there and we prayed, yeah, weekly. So until today, today we do it only every second week, but now we're still praying. And we prayed also very clear, because I don't know, you know this Pärchenlauf. Do you heard this Pärchenlauf? Yeah, it's very common here. So it's a traditional where you, the devil, you know, you usually push the devil out of the city usually. It's a traditional, so it's really crazy. And that we had in our city also. And we as believers, we said, we don't want to have this in our city. Now we are here, we're putting our feet on this ground and saying, God, it belongs to you. And we prayed for it. This was one of the first prayer requests that we also had. Yeah? And until then, it stopped. Because there was no money even more for this. It's very interesting. It stopped. You know? And I believe, of course, many people can say, yeah, the circumstances, there was no money. So no, it was a prayer of the believers. Then the election came. the parties changed totally, and then the old parties, only one party, not joined to this collaboration. Everyone said, now we want really to see some changes, and they did a collaboration, and only one party said, we want to be the opposite, opposition. Yeah, we want to be the opposition. So I don't say the color about this party, but but there was one party who said, we want to be the opposition. Yeah. So, but this changed the atmosphere in the city. We really see that things changing, that you can invest, that the city becomes blew up again, something you can invest in. And also the debts we could release from some, we prayed for some specific contracts that the city signed or the mayor before signed, where we really was captive by this, you know, and we prayed for this and that they were broken and we could now find better contracts and so that we can release from the debts. You know, that sounds maybe crazy, but this is the reality and this is the power of prayer. And even this, then it continues, and we saw that in our area, people are becoming more and more open to God. We found more and more opportunities to share the gospel with different kind of people. We had access to the mayor still now. We have a good access to the mayor. We inform the mayor regularly and say, we are praying for you. She sends also some prayer requests to us because she knows we are a group of believers who are praying for her. And this brings changes there. So we saw then that so many people starting, it's starting to change, and we found also out that some of us from our friends become believers. They become believers because the atmosphere changed of the prayer. So we need powerful prayer. It's sometimes more important than to do many other things. And then the other thing also, and I will continue with this, is next one. Count on God's possibilities. You know, so of course you can start to pray, but if you start to pray and not expect that the things will really happen, then it is worth. I see so many times we pray, God, please do this and this, and then we leave the room and we don't care anymore about it. And we not even have expectation about something. But we, if we start really pray honestly, we have to see that God will do changes. We see it in the whole Bible, that God doing the, God has more possibilities than we, that he sometimes intervene and do great things. We see it in Jonah and Nineveh, you know, for example, this story. Jonah went there, and he had really scared that God will bring change to the city. And really, the whole city, yeah, they converted to God. We see Elijah, you know, when he did this big sacrifice there and put out a lot of water in this, yeah, and then everything burned. Yeah, it is possible to find these things with God. Or in Acts, we can read many stories in Acts. And also then, it came back to Stockerau, the city. In Stockerau, then we prayed, and also the Corona time, we had again a prayer meeting. During that prayer meeting, we had the feeling, many of us, we had the feeling that we were 10 people, we had the feeling we should something do for the city, and we did a Christmas miracle path, you know, so like a rally. So you have a different station where you have a part of a Bible story is a Christmas story, you know, and the people have to come at the starting point and they get a lantern with a tea light, you know, and they went through the city, so 30 to 45 minutes. They went there, had to solve some quiz, and and then in the end it was a gift. And now we did it 3 times now. And the first time, some people came, and we have not did any many advertise. So we had around 200 people who attended on this only 1 week. And so we did only on Saturday for 3 hours. So 200 people came and did this. Last year we had more than 400 people who came to this Christmas path and was only going through the city, reading the Christmas story, doing some things, coming back. And then we had also a fireplace where we had a fire, where we had sausages, waffle, so on. And almost all the time there was around 60, 70 people who were staying there, changing people, you know. And we only have to speak with them to share the gospel. So God brings the people to us even if we have done nothing. We have not sent even one advertisement. People are coming to this, you know, and then they send it to Facebook. They are our people who are doing the advertise, not we. They are doing this. And so this is what we really see. Let's change some atmosphere. And then through this, we saw that many people become open to God more and more, as I said. And then there was the question, what we should do now? And my wife and I, we had last year then the idea, let us start something like gathering once a month, somehow like church planting. So and we invited the people, and at least the believers. First, we thought we invite the believers, you know, to come to our garden and to speak about church planting. So we invited the believers, but all of them were busy. Yeah, so this is typical believers, Christians, so busy. So then we said, okay, if they not want to come, we invite our friends, neighbors, you know, who are not believers. Some were believers, some non-believers. So, and then 70 people came. 70 people. We not expected that so much will come, but 70 people come in our garden, and we did a brunch, and we started at 10 o'clock, and the last people left at 6 in the evening. And I thought, okay, 1 o'clock, no, guys, you don't want to leave. But they were hungry. They were hungry for God. And that is the reality still. People are searching for hope. People are looking for something. And that is why we called it brunch and spirit. Because if you say brunch and God, I think no one would come. Because people are not looking for God. But they are spiritual. They are looking for some spiritual. And so you have to use their words to invite them. But then to share them, look, what you are looking. Yeah, you're looking spiritual, but what you really need is God. We really need is Jesus. And that is what we are sharing now. And now still we are doing this. We did some different kind of things once a month, yeah. We did brunch in spirit, walking in spirit, play in spirit, but always with spirit so that people can come and join and see, wow, here's something different. And also last Sunday we had again, we have still once a month, last Sunday there was more than 40 people there who are coming. And there are people who are hungry for God, who are really hungry for God. People are looking for it. They have a hope. They are sitting in the cave. They are longing for something who brings light to them. You know, this is what we have to understand and to believe. And the other thing is stay mission. So many times when I see in church planting that we become very close together and then we are only dealing with the inner problems. You know, then we discuss only with our inner problems and we forget that we have a mission. Yeah, we forget that you built for a mission, that we not built only to come here because to have a nice Sunday morning. Yeah, we have a mission to go out to all nations, you know, to bring and to teach them, to baptize them, to bring them, to teach them all the things. But what I see sometimes is what we like to do is we like only to teach. But the first command is go. But what we do is we like to teach. We like that people come to us and then we can share what is going in our heart. That is more comfortable. No, but the first command is what Jesus said, we have to go. And so many times I see that churches are saying, if we, then we will do. But usually it should be because we have a mission. Therefore, we are going out. Therefore, we are with the people. But I see this, that is a really something that's challenged us because that we would like to be comfortable. We like it to have comfortable. You know, if you have not to go out to the people to share your gospel, it's more like comfortable. The other thing is also, maybe we are afraid about the outside. Yeah, because it's nothing that belongs to us. So we don't know how to behave outside. So that's what most of us we are doing, or so many churches doing. They're doing a lot of programs for the whole week so that you every evening can go to the church, but you never have time to go outside. You have never time to meet other people. Yeah. And the other thing is also what I see why we are not doing is some of the comfortable way because we are afraid, and the other thing is also because we are not aware what kind of authority we have. You know, we have not immediately always, when you, if you go outside and speak with people or met with your colleagues or with your friends, yeah, it is not always that you have to share the whole gospel. But if you share the story and ask them, what kind of sorrow do you have? And then you speak out a prayer in their life, people will not refuse it. I have never experienced, yeah, also when I lived for many years in Kosovo, a Muslim country, when I offered a prayer to someone, no one refused. For a prayer, I would say no one will refuse. You have not to share the gospel. But if someone tells you something, and you say, hey, can I pray for this? Can I pray now in the presence of you? It will touch the people. It will touch the people. Also, I had one story when I once went in the supermarket with us, and I saw that there was a lady there. She was somehow weeping and going there. And I went through this, and I said, oh my God, I felt so much pain immediately in my inside. I said, something is going wrong there. Something, yeah? But then my second thought was, but I'm busy. You know, I'm busy. I have to go shopping. You know, my wife is waiting for me, so I have to shop the things and then done, you know. I have no time. I cannot speak with foreign strangers, people here in the middle of the waste cross. But still God was pushing me and always sometimes our waist crossed, you know, how it is sometimes in the supermarket, you know. And then I had also my courage and I asked her, hey, I saw you are crying, so what is on your heart? Can I help you something? And she shared her situation, how difficult it was, you know, with her husband, that she lost her husband and so on. And then in the middle of the supermarket, I said, can I pray? And she said, yeah, yes. So it was not a complicated thing, then, but we prayed there together, and really I could see that the joy came in her life. And I think this moment, really, I also have to challenge and to say to myself, you know, I have to think about what is our mission. We are done to be and determined to be salt and light. So that is why important that we are with the people. And so that is also important that we now, the other point is, the know your environment. So where you are working, where is your church? What is your environment? Where do you live, you know? And because many people, they have no idea how to find Christians, where to find Christians. But sometimes we have, all of us, we have experience and we think only the way how I think how the church should look like, that is the right way. But is this also our shape, maybe, or our experience from the past that we have, from our childhood, from our different countries or something, culture, you know? But we have to learn how the gospel can come to the environment where we are. What are really the sorrow of the people? How we can give the people outside a voice into the church? For this, we need to know what is the environment, what people are looking for. My first church planting, as I said, was in East Germany. You know, it was in east part of Germany, close to Dresden. And in this area, 10,000 people live close by the high buildings there. And most of them were social weak and a lot of Nazis. Yeah, so that is one of the really, yeah, the strongest point where the most Nazis live. And the government, they say, we don't want to invest anymore in this area. They gave it up. And so it looks like also the whole area, when we came there, it was really a disaster. You know, nothing was really clean, broken playgrounds, everything. So, and then you had always youth groups are meeting there and listening, songs that is usually forbidden to hear. And so it was really a challenging time. And then when we started there, what we did first, we went to the playgrounds and we renovated the playgrounds. And then the next day, some of them were broken again. So we invested again. We started to play the playground again with the boys. I invited the youth to say, hey, guys, come on. You want to sit together, huh? Or you want to only to stay and smoke and drink? It's better if you have a bench or something or so, yeah? So, yeah, it's good. Okay, I organized wood and we built it together. So, and then it changed the atmosphere, and then it started to become trust. So, then they invited me then to come to their garage sometimes. They had also some garage, or they had some empty flats where they met. Usually it was also forbidden, but they went in always, you know, through the window somewhere. So, they said, come on with us. I came with them. And they're in these lost places, you know, and sharing with them friendship, only to build trust. We not started there to say, look, we now we have our nice building. You have to come to our nice building. I went to them. I was listening to their stories about the youth. What is with their parents? And many of their parents were alcohol addicted. You know, there was a big, huge, huge problem that they had there. So, and through this, then we opened a youth house together with the young people. So we did some, like an open house. We invested there together the things. And we renovated it, and they came together, and they did their party there. That was not a Christian party, but I said to them, but at least 10 minutes you have to give me. Every party time, 10 minutes, I will share my thoughts. Yeah, and this was not easy all the time. Yeah, I was not like this before, I was more thin, yeah? So it was, but, but the authority of God makes it possible that I could share. And then we saw that some of the leaders of this group became believers. And then we started the church planting. And then we started to build our own building and to invite people. And then we had our own building. Let me say this also. Then we had our own building that was on the ground floor, like shopping flat. And there was the windows there also. And we met together and we were also praying, God, when we should start openly to share about church planting or Sunday services, when we should start the Sunday service. And I still see myself there, staying there, sharing it, and then I saw a shadow there on the window, and then only like a noise, and I come up, and then a woman jumped from the 9th balcony down and died in front of our meeting point. At that moment, we had no any more questions to God. We knew now is the time to start. Yeah, because people are looking and longing for hope. And this is what we have to understand. So we have not to look only on the surface, what people are showing to us, but we have to need the courage to go and look deeper. And so we did so many things. Also, I can say, for example, we did many times open-air services. We said, okay, we have not to hide because people will not come to the building, so we have to go out to them. So there was this parking area where we also did already, we renovated it, you know. So we had the Sunday service, and also once we had an open-air service there, and many people were listening from the balconies to this. You know, we had a good speaker, so it was always to make a little bit noise. So many were listening to the balcony. On Sunday, we were sitting there, and then we just started with the worship, and it started to rain. And we had no tent, nothing. People wanted to leave the place. And then God spoke to me and said, Rudy, go on the stage and say the people should stay here. And I was fighting, saying, God, you are joking, you know. I should go now up. No, I will blame, you know. All the people know me, or most of them. But God, again, pushed me. People are leaving and leaving. So, and then I went up on the stage, and they said, please, everyone, stay here. No one will be wet today. No one will leave this wet. And when I said this, the sky opened. The rain stopped immediately. The sun came out, yeah. And after the service was finished, it immediately started to rain again. Yeah? It was so funny, but after this, the people around, they knew me. When I walked through this area, they say, hey, you are the pastor who can pray for the weather, yeah? So, I want to encourage you, know, God is doing things still, but we have to come out of our comfort zone. You know, and it was not easy for me also there to stay and to make this big, whoa, hey. No, I was not a hero at that time. You know, I was full of fear usually when I said this. But God has the authority to bring changes. So, but we have to know What is our environment? What is people doing? What kind of meeting points they need? How we have to create also Sunday services that they really come and feel welcome in our community. And the last thing also, what I see, what is very important, I do short because I see a lot of stories other. So important for me is also always to have a visionary leadership, to honor visionary leadership. You know, so many times I see also in church planting that then the leadership is created and the leadership then started only to maintain the things that is that they have already. But it is not leadership. You know, and then you will not grow anymore. There's not enough potential. So it is important to have a leadership, a clear leadership, you know, who give still the vision to the people to say, look, we are not here gathering only together because that we have a good time together. We have still a mission. Think about the boys in the cave. We need the boys in the cave. So this is why we are here sitting together. For this is a part of the visionary leadership. The visionary leadership is to help people to find their potential, to help them, you know, that they can empower, to empower others, you know, that they can put their gifts into the kingdom of God, and to help always to keep the goal and the mission clear in mind. That is why it needs a visionary leadership, still to have it clear. Can you imagine if this rescue operation, what I spoke in the beginning, the story, if there would be no leadership, if everyone would come from all kind of nation would come together and everyone would say, no, we do it in our country like this. No, I had the experience last time this. Oh, let us take a boat and to go this. Oh, let us go with a helicopter. You know, no, you need a leader who says, okay, now we have all the knowledge. We have all this kind of experience here, but to set it and to say, what is our clear mission? And where we how we want to go, how we want to try it this time. Then if there is not a visionary leadership, there the hope will die. If there is no visionary leadership, there is not any more faith required for something else. Then it's only managing a church. And I wish really that you feel this also, that you honor people who take leadership position, you know, and help them to do a good job. Like Joshua and Caleb, they were for me visionary leaders. Because visionary leaders, they see things that God has promised and they want to go to this, even if other people not see it. Yeah, and this is something what I want to share from my experience, what I had have with God and with also the church planting. And I have to remember myself on this point. You know, and I see again, everything started with a powerful prayer. Every day I have to pray, and I also many times I have to sit down and to ask God, what does I really expect? Not only to say, God, bless the things, but what does I really expect? And it's not so easy sometimes to give an answer to this. But then also to count on God's possibilities, to have the mission in focus, because there are so many other things that we can deal and have to manage with, to know my environment where I live, and to honor visionary leadership. Yeah, may God bless you on this journey also, that you really can see the Adventure Church and experience the impossible. Thanks.